This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Final hour of Grant and Danny getting started on 106.7 The Fan. At 1:30, Clinton Portis, longtime Redskin, on Dwayne Haskins versus Kyle Allen. And if he's still of the belief that Chase Young at 2 is not the best option, when he told us on the show about a month ago what he would do in the draft, said he would trade back. So we'll see if that's still the case. But right now, I want to go to the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Welcome onto the show, our buddy FP Santangelo. I know one of the reasons, FP, that you and we were all worried about this quarantine was no baseball, but you were filling the void last night. You, Dan Colco, Mike Rizzo, Instagram Live, watching Masson's rebroadcast of Game 5 of the Division Series against the Dodgers. Seemed like you guys had a heck of a good time.
Well, you know, it wasn't about us having a good time. And thanks for having me on, by the way, you guys. I really appreciate it. It wasn't about really us having a good time, although it did serve that purpose. We were just hoping to brighten people's day a little bit right now. We're all missing sports right now. I'm definitely missing baseball, going nuts without it. You know, it's the first time in, 31 years of professional baseball that this time of year I'm just sitting here doing nothing. So we were thinking, Dan and I watched Boog Shambi and Chipper Jones do it the other day with the ESPN game, and I texted Dan. I said, hey, let's go on Instagram Live and just kind of communicate with fans and just riff back and forth about what we were thinking during these games and what we saw. And it was cool, man. I got a lot of really cool text messages and tweets last night after that made a lot of people's day, and that's kind of what it was about. And Grant, when you think about it, you really have to thank Masson for going out there and getting those broadcasts, because those weren't on our air. So the fact that they did that, I don't know how all the legal stuff works with how you get a TBS broadcast or a Fox broadcast, but they're going to be airing all those games, all the deciding games. And I just think that's really cool of Masson to go out there and do that. I know a lot of people were kind of bummed about where the classic logo was. And I was sitting here thinking to myself, well, I just want to see these games. I know how they came out, and I'm super grateful that Masson took the time and the effort to broadcast these so we could all relive some great memories.
Yeah, FP, just impromptu, a bunch of buddies and I, one guy tweet or sent us an email, said, hey, I'm watching Game 5 of the Dodgers series. So we all kind of synchronized swatches, like where Parker Lewis can't lose, put the game on, and we're live texting back and forth again. I mean, you're right. People are dying for that content. So kudos to Masson and you guys for kind of helping deliver it. But, I sort of wonder, what's next? You know what I mean? Like, the NBA is going to do a horse contest, it sounds like. And before we get to MLB's idea of what to play, it's like, how many more things can we come up with here?
I think you put all the major league players in San Quentin, and then you just play games in the yard every day and just broadcast the games from the yard. Some yard ball, some hard ball, yard ball.
Oh, man.
No, you guys, I tweeted this morning, and it kind of hit me while I was drinking my coffee. You got to be careful with the anything's better than nothing mentality right now with sports, because we're also craving it. We're also missing it. And we want some source of normalness in our lives right now with everything being turned upside down. And there's so many more important things than sports that we need to focus on right now and staying at home and social distancing so we can get back to what was normal. But you got to be careful of the anything's better than nothing mentality with any sport, not just baseball, because now, you might compromise the integrity of the game. Sometimes you just got to take your L and focus on what's next. I am praying and hoping that we all get better, and we all get back to normal, and we can all get back to Nats Park soon enough. It's been really hard for me, a guy that loves baseball as much as anybody, but we have to be careful that we just don't tinker too much just because we're in a rush to get back to normal. Man, sometimes there's more important things in sports, and we can't just have some sort of game to have a game, because I think you're really taking a risk there.
You certainly are. FP Santangelo is with us on Grant and Danny. And look, nobody would say that the priority should be sports, obviously, right? We are all on the same page in terms of listening to the experts and only doing things that are safe and staying in our homes and keeping everyone as healthy as possible. But in our little bubble here, for the sake of the conversation about launching baseball as soon as possible with the news of the day, your point's interesting, and I get it. And I've heard some people that have come out, more purist types, say that they wouldn't want to do it this way because it's not Major League Baseball. And I would point to, like, WrestleMania, which just happened. I'm not a big wrestling guy. I don't know about UFP. It's been years and years since I was into it. But they had an event that I think largely got panned by people because it was so different. But if you ask wrestling fans, and I have, what did you think? Many of them basically said it was better than nothing. And I think the fear might be, just like any of us, right? The fear is, well, if we give this to our company or if we allow this difference, that maybe they don't put the toothpaste back in the tube when this all comes back to being a little bit more normal. I am of the belief that I'll take whatever they can give me. If we're playing seven-inning doubleheaders a few days a week or we're playing a bunch of games in Phoenix, I think the country needs some distraction like you and Dan provided, like Danny and I are hopefully providing. I think they need that shot in the arm of athletics, of sports, because it would feel like we're jabbing back at COVID-19, that as a country we are advancing and societally we're trying to move forward. So I'm team give me what you can give me. It's not going to be perfect. It's not going to look like Major League Baseball maybe, but I'll take what you can provide. You know, maybe a little bit different, I guess, than how you view it, but I respect your camp for sure. I just think we need as much as possible right now to give us some happiness and some distraction.
Hey, that's hard to argue with, Grant. I mean, seriously, you make really good points. And I was kind of in that camp a couple of weeks ago. Like, I was moaning about Masson. We had to broadcast. We had to see even the verbiage there. We had to broadcast an inter-squad game on the 24th. And I'm thinking, I don't know, you know, how many people would be interested in inter-squad, but initially, you know, that was scheduled because there was supposed to be a team at Nats Park. And I'm like, an inner squad? I would kill for an inner squad right now. So I get that mentality 100%. I just hope that, you know, you don't compromise the player's safety, the player's family safety, which is just as important, and all the people surrounding the game. I logistically, I don't know how you can do it until there's a vaccine. But, man, I'm with you in the sense that I just miss it so much. I'll take anything. But you don't want to compromise. You don't want to compromise. You don't want to make it a three-ring circus. Baseball is such a great game, and all the sports we're missing right now are such great games. You don't want to make it WrestleMania. You want to keep it some semblance of what it was. And I have faith that the higher ups and the people that are making decisions won't let that happen.
That's the challenge. FP, how about this angle? Because Danny and I were debating this earlier. The health experts are mostly on board with, like, socially distant baseball, it sounds like, or at least what they're moving forward with at the moment. And the league and the Players Association are trying to come together with all kinds of kind of wacky tweaks, no dugout, guys in the crowd, walking down from the stand, 6 feet apart, whatever. What we couldn't get past, and there are probably 50 hurdles that might not be cleared here. I don't know how plausible any of this is. But the thing that I think is the tallest hurdle, if you will, like, I hate to use him as an example, but I'll just pick a guy that we all know with a family. I have a hard time believing if baseball goes to Ryan Zimmerman and says, Zim, you got to go to Phoenix. You can't see your wife and kids potentially for like months on end. And maybe they'd find a way that they test the families too and they can come live with them. I have no idea. But it sounds like they're basically being, you know, sequestered in a hotel by themselves for the time being. Like, you tell Max you can't see Erica and your kids, or tell Zim you can't see your daughters and your wife who's pregnant. I just have a hard time believing, like, veteran players who have made a bunch of money are going to want to do that. Now, maybe some kids like Soto or Robles or, you know, Carter Kieboom, who might get an opportunity he wouldn't have otherwise. Maybe those types of guys who are single say yes. But, like, older veteran players with families, speaking for myself, I don't think I would sign off on that if I'm one of those guys. Where are you at on that?
Well, you know, I think it's a case by case basis. I think after this quarantine, a lot of guys will go for it.
That's true.
I'm joking. That was a Grant. That's the first thing that popped out to me is like 4.5 months. You go to your hotel. You go to the ballpark. You go to your hotel. You go to your ballpark. No conjugal visits. Just hey, we're playing baseball. I mean, I don't think that's going to fly. But like I said, it's case by case basis. There's probably some guys that are just like, hey, that's great. See you in 4.5 months, honey. But I would think that the majority of them, the vast majority of them, looked at that and said, that ain't going to fly. But, hey, it's something to talk about for you guys today. It's something for all of us to talk about. At least they're trying. If you look at that and you just, like, totally poo-poo it, then, you know, at least people are trying to be creative about this. However great or awful you think it is, I just think you have to be careful. I didn't say you can't do anything. I just think you have to be super wary of the anything's better than nothing mentality. That's all.
No, that was my first reaction, too, was who knows if this works or not, FP, and if it is safe. But thank goodness you're trying to do something outside the box. They sort of understand, I think, that we can't do it like we were used to, but nobody's doing anything like they're used to. Hey, again, congrats on this awesome endeavor. I think it's really, really cool that you guys are doing awesome work for everybody, so we can all sort of enjoy this, watching along with you guys. And thanks for hopping on with us today, buddy. Miss you.
Yeah, I miss you guys too, man. And hopefully things get back to normal. We'll see you at the yard.
That would be nice. Cannot wait to be back at Nats Park and watching Bob and FP on Masson night in and night out, keeping us company in our homes. There's FP Santangelo and Grant and Danny. Clinton Portis about 15 minutes out at 1:30. Next, though, on GND, let's get into the NFL draft. Look at the top of the board and some of the rumors that have come out over the last couple of days. You're listening to The Fan. Big thanks to FP Santangelo for joining us on Grant and Danny. Before we move on, something he just said that caught my attention. You know, he talked about, let's be careful here, and I would think huge baseball guy, right? His entire life has been baseball, played in the big leagues, has been a broadcaster. You heard him say 31 straight years dating back to the work stoppage. He hasn't not had baseball this time of year. He's always kind of known exactly where he'd be any given day because it's at the nearest ballpark. And he doesn't necessarily want to see baseball kind of throw something together in May and June for fear that it's not going to look like Major League Baseball, without putting words in his mouth. I think you're going to get some of that pushback, by the way. We didn't talk about this in our first hour, but you're going to get a lot of people, I consider them to be purists, and these are the people that didn't necessarily want the wild card or, you know, don't necessarily want to tweak the rules for a sped-up game or what have you, who would say, I don't want to do that, because then guys like Grant Paulson get his way and you've got no umpire and an electronic strike zone in these games, which is what they're talking about.
Which is why I'm going, yep.
Guys like Danny Ruye get their way and, you know, you do this 7-inning doubleheader thing. And the problem is, I think, and it's the same fear we've all had in different capacities of our lives. I don't know about you, Danny, but I've been asked to do things at work where I go, damn, what about in August or September when life's happening again, hopefully? Are they just going to keep doing it that way? I think people worry about that with baseball where, well, we've already had games now without an umpire and they went kind of well, so ... And that's just one example. Mm-hmm. But there are 100 things that you're going to do differently than you did before. And if you are a purist, you might not want to try it this way so that people see that it might work or what is good and what isn't. Think about like the XFL or one of these sports leagues like the Alliance of American Football where they've taken ideas that worked. They saw it. They experimented with it. It was good. They took it. I don't think a lot of people want to see that happen if they don't want many major changes to baseball.
Yeah, and I understand that perspective. And it, to me, I dismiss it. Now, granted, I'm someone that's willing, far more willing to adapt and deal with things that I maybe don't love just to make sure that the game grows. Here's your choice. Keep it perfect or don't have it. I don't know how you could argue ultimately for the latter. To me, the only balancing act is, are we sure this is safe? And then everybody says yes. Then I go, okay, check one more time. Are we sure this is safe? If the answer is yes, then give it to me how you can give it to me. You know what I mean? Like eating a cookie that's not 100 out of 100, but it's a 90 because you decided to put raisins in it, it's still better than not having the cookie. You know what I mean? Like, to me, this is intuitive, of course. And if it's not what you grew up with, it's not what you, in FP's case, you played when you were in the big leagues, I'm sorry. We got to deliver this thing to the masses. You know, so a watered down version is still a version. you don't necessarily complain if you've been starving in the wilderness for however many months. You don't send the cracker back and make sure that it's a Ritz. You know, I understand not wanting everything, and you need folks there that are sort of mark the passage of time and remember different eras of the game and everything else. This is the most unique circumstance of our lifetime. This is not just Rob Manfred not liking mound visits. You know what I mean? This is not just
get rid of the four pitch walk. Something like this,
right?
Maybe even more than a want, and maybe I'm overstating it as a huge knucklehead sports fan. You know, just a goofball who loves baseball. But whether it is, you talked yesterday about new content without shows and films being taped right now, or whatever gets people through their day from an entertainment standpoint. I mean, mental health is every bit as important right now as physical health. I think just getting people in a better mood and giving them a release, some kind of therapeutic element of their lives back, would be so massive. And if baseball can do that, and I know I speak for a lot of people when I say from 7 to 10 every night, being able to watch the Nationals helps me in my life unwind mentally. It's something that is healthy for me. Some version of that is probably a good thing. But again, there's no right answer. This is all very complicated. Here's another way to do this, by the way. I don't know if you saw this story today. I'm just reading off ESPN.com. But you know that Dana White was one of the last leaders of major sports, and I believe he was one of the guys on the call with Donald Trump among the commissioners this weekend. They had an event live more recently than almost any other sport that everybody watched, and it was all over ESPN.com and all the sites, getting all the national run because it was the only show in town, literally and figuratively. Well, they had fights canceled. They had events canceled starting in March going through April, the 21st, the 28th of March, April 11th because of the coronavirus. Dana White told ESPN yesterday that he secured a location in the U.S. to host UFC 249 on April 18th, 11 days from now, and that they're going to go forward with it, headlined by an interim title fight with Tony Ferguson, a 12-fight card, I think, overall. He said the location's also going to host weekly fights for at least the next couple of months. So you've got to find a location that isn't in the middle of an outbreak, obviously, that also allows for sanctioned fighting. So there's enough states, I guess, boxes you could check in that regard. But here's what fascinated me about this story. Dana White is so committed to resuming operations that he has secured a private island to host events now moving forward. I don't know where it would be or where they would go or how this would work, but he has gone and found a private island where they can have UFC fights moving forward that he's planning on using if it gets to that.
So I'm reminded, this is a random reference, but I'm reminded of season one of Entourage when Vinny Chase has a movie that he's in that's fine, that doesn't get great reviews, but he's in it, and he starts to get offered more and more things, and he keeps passing on stuff. And Ari wants him to sign to take this movie called Matterhorn, right? So he doesn't take it, doesn't like it. And the big message, the takeaway, the lecture he gives to E and everybody else is, you don't kill your career by making bad movies. You kill your career by passing. And Dana White is living that. And maybe it's to an extreme, and he's, maybe being reckless at certain points, ignoring some medical advice. But he understands, and I think he feels, and that's why I think he's so compelled, to say, there are eyeballs that are going to look at something. If my product is out there, I've got a chance to, A, capture a bigger market than I've ever had. I can satisfy my fans. I don't want them to go find something else. I need to get something in front of their faces ASAP.
Yes.
That's the driving force here, right? Now, you need somebody in his ear to be like, hey, bro, this probably isn't safe next week. But, let's work towards that, which is what Major League Baseball is doing, trying to balance it. But that's what this reminds me of, is you need to find a way to get eyeballs on your product. And he knows that. And that's why he's so driven to do this, I think.
I think that's part of, you tell me you think I'm wrong. Remember, people thought, well, if there's one league that pushes forward and just says kick rocks, what will it be? A lot of people said it would be the XFL and Vince McMahon. They've already seen with wrestling, he's done that. They obviously don't have any crowds or any people watching, but they've found a way to continue to have wrestlers, on the mat, on top of each other, slamming each other, sweating on each other, breathing on each other, still fighting in mass in their sport. But the XFL immediately shut down operations, but people thought because they needed the eyeballs. They wanted the attention. This is one of those things where everyone else takes their ball and goes home. If you just keep playing, then people have to watch you. But
right.
I think the prioritization has been correct for these leagues by and large, which is this is not about our business right now. This is not about getting more viewers. Let's do the right thing, Spike Lee style. All right, next on Grant and Danny, we'll bring Clinton Portis onto the show, the longtime Redskin. I want to see where he's at. We had D'Angelo Hall on a few days ago to talk about the quarterback position. I want to see if Portis agrees with him about Haskins going into year two in this weird offseason. That's next on G&D right here on The Fan. At 1:45 on Grant and Danny in 12 minutes, we've got a couple of Paisano's gift cards that could be yours just for listening to the show today. Paisano's doing some great work helping to sponsor this broadcast and the station during some tough times, and that means a lot to us. We appreciate them. But make sure you're listening if you want those gift cards, a one-way ticket to delicious pizza coming up in about 12 minutes. But it's not just pizza, Danny. There is something for everyone.
Something for everyone.
Paisano'sPizza.com. All right, let's talk to our buddy Clinton Portis, who's on the Mattress Warehouse hotline right now. It's been too long since we had CP on, so we wanted to check in with him. Clinton, first of all, what are you doing these days to stay safe and stay quarantined? How are you passing the time, man?
Man, don't leave the yard. I think I done became a world-renowned chef by now.
You're cooking a lot?
I cook all the – I'm talking about breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I would say breakfast and dinner. I don't really eat lunch, but breakfast and dinner, you know, just hanging with the kids, man, you know, cleaning, doing yard work. I haven't done yard work since I was probably 15 or 16. Now I'm doing yard work. I'm cleaning the house like I'm a maid chef. I'm everything now. I have some special traits when this is all over.
You had some special traits as a player too, Clinton. I tell you that much. And the Redskins have a chance to get a couple special players with their spot in the draft at number two overall. Where do you think they should go here? I mean, the conventional wisdom, everybody has them taking Chase Young to add to a defensive line that's already got a bunch of first-round picks already. Where should they go, in your opinion?
Hey, first off, I think that was the first compliment you ever gave me, so thank you.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
That's a good compliment, Tim.
That's ridiculous. Hey, that's like the third or fourth compliment.
Man, still, after all this time, it's good to finally hear one. I think it's a lot of options available. You know, I think everyone in the world feels as if Chase Young is the no-brainer, and I think Chase Young is a hell of a player. But for me, it's just Simmons. It's something about Simmons and just the intangibles that he brings. Because I think he could still get to the quarterback, you know. And the way you break it down, I look at Payne and Allen and Ioannidis. You still got Kerrigan. You got Sweat. As that defensive line locker room is kind of full of leaders. And you bring another guy to add to that, you're not really improving the other rooms. You got to bring all the rooms up to par. You know, your linebacking room needs to be filled with leaders. And you got Thomas Davidson, and you got Cole Holcomb, who I think is going to be a really good player. But you need to start getting all your rooms to match the D-line room. So bringing Chase Young into an already – crowded defensive line room, there's nothing wrong with Chase Young. I think his game is excellent. I'm just more impressed with Isaiah Simmons because this is a one-of-a-kind guy. You know, we missed out on Derwin James a couple years ago, and you look at this situation, you look at Isaiah Simmons and everything that he can do. You know, we all saw him run at Pro Day, and we've seen him attack and get downhill. We've saw him get after the quarterback. You see him in coverage. So I just think it's more intangibles. And not the Redskins don't have one need. They have a lot of needs. And you have one player that can fill a few needs compared to one player that fills, you know, the needs that get to the quarterback. So either one of those guys I can't miss. In my eyes, I just would choose Simmons. And a lot of people are like, oh, I wouldn't take Simmons at two, maybe at four. There's no difference between two and four, you know. They're all outstanding players, and I think the top six, top seven players are all outstanding players. And, you know, some guys are going to go on to be all decade, and some guys are going to go on to be pro bowlers, and some guys are going to have longevity in careers. I just think this is one of those guys, when you look back 15, 20 years from now, you're like, Isaiah Simmons is something special, you know. And I was trying to think of the linebacking core since for the Redskins, since you think of Ken Harvey them, and then you think of LeVar Arrington. And after LeVar, London Fletcher, you know, which you brought in a trade. You really hadn't had a dominating linebacker since London Fletcher. You know, I think the Arakpo experience, you know, that's up for grabs of how that turned out. But finding a linebacker that could be a staple for organization, I think you find that in Simmons. Although I think Chase Young would be a staple as well. So I don't think you can go wrong with either of those guys.
So you make a compelling case, though, when you say you'd take Simmons over Young, and Clinton Portis is with us on Grant and Danny. But I want to go back to something you mentioned about taking him at two as opposed to trading down. What's the difference? Like, to me, so the Giants pick four, they're not trading up. The Lions third, they're not trading up. So I guess realistically you're talking about, let's say, the Dolphins at five. If you're going to take Simmons over Young, would you trade back to five and try to get Simmons there and pick up potentially several other picks over a couple of years? Or would you just stay put at two and take Simmons because you need to get him? In other words, are you desperate to get Isaiah Simmons, or do you just like the idea of adding the other picks and trying to get him? Like, what's your priority?
Well, I mean, it's not a guarantee that you hit on those picks, you know. And we've seen it numerous times throughout different organizations that you take a chance and you move out. You know, you look at some people who got their staple and some that, you know, in a year or two were trying to draft that same exact position. So it just depends on how much you love them. If the Dolphins got a package that you can't pass on, then it would be a no-brainer to trade back to five and just take the best available, because, again, you have a lot of needs to fill. And if the Dolphins, you know, maybe – I'm not sure if a guy slipped. You know, you're talking about Detroit and it's rumored that they want a cornerback. But if those guys are sitting on the board, all of a sudden Detroit looking and saying, hey, you know what, we're going to take one of these guys, the Giants, the same exact way. The Giants could possibly – take one of those guys if available. So, or trade back. You know what I mean? So you don't know who's going to jump to three or four to jump in front of you if you trade back to five. You know, if it was a lock that you could say, okay, Joe Burrow is going one, and then the Dolphins trade up to two to draft a quarterback, and then you got Chase Young and Isaiah Simmons sitting for the third and fourth pick of the draft, I think a lot of teams are going to start trading up or trying to jump in front of the Redskins, knowing that that's the move. But you still had a kid, the cornerback in Okuda, coming out of Ohio State. You have some linemen. You have a lot of talented players. It's just who's going to take that player, or who's going to be that player that's going to be a game changer or a franchise player 10, 20 years from now, where you look back like this was a steal in the draft. You know, that's where you can't miss. When you look at a lot of the guys that were high draft picks compared to guys that are Russell Wilson, that everybody overlooked, that everybody are Aaron Rodgers. Oh, well, no, this guy's going to be better. And then all of a sudden, they're Hall of Fame caliber. They're leading their organizations to Super Bowls, and they're going to be all-time players. That's the kind of player we need to draft. It's been a long time since we drafted that type of individual into our organization.
CP, D'Angelo Hall told us the other day that he was worried for Haskins because Kyle Allen comes in here with a leg up and not having this kind of offseason. And, you know, this Kyle Allen is Ron Rivera's guy. He went out and traded for him. Wasn't a huge asking price to give up, but sought him out and got him. Where are you at on this Haskins-Allen battle, and is it even one in your mind?
I think it's a battle. I think it should be a battle. I think competition should always be open at every position. You know, I don't think any position should be a lock, and especially when you have a new coaching staff coming in. I think Haskins has to prove himself. And as I, you know, went through D'Angelo's quote, it was just given the advantages that Allen had already. Allen is familiar with this terminology. He's already played with these coaches. He knows what's expected. So on day one, when everyone comes out, Haskins is going to be kind of slow to read the first, second, third read, whereas Allen already knows these plays and where the ball should go. So he's going to look better early on. And Haskins has to get up to speed because Allen is already ahead of him when it comes to this playbook and this coaching staff. So I understood what D-Hall was saying. But, you know, I think it should be competition. I think competition brings the best out of everyone. And if they could have a healthy competition where they can learn and compete and have fun doing it, I think it works out for both guys because you just got to grow within this sport. You got to continuously grow. Every year, someone is looking for the next best whatever. And at some point it comes to your position that's up for grabs. And Haskins being a competitor, feeling as if, you know, he hasn't gotten his just due, the easiest way for Haskins to go out and prove worthy is you go out and beat this guy out fair and square. And it's two off seasons back to back that Haskins don't get a fair opportunity to prepare, but no one is going to think about, oh, COVID took away all of the preseason workouts. And the moments like this is the time that Haskins would be growing if we didn't have this devastating COVID going on throughout the world, you know, but no one is going to look at that. This is going to be what has he done for me on the field. And you're really not taking into consideration 2 years in a row, he hasn't had an off season, you know what I mean? Where he was able to go in and compete as the guy, as the main guy, and the coaches are putting their all into catching him up to speed. It's constantly been something out of his control.
Clinton Portis, excellent on Grant and Danny every time he joins us. Get back to cooking and doing the yard work and being a maid and all those things that you found yourself doing over these last few days. Always appreciate the analysis from you and your thoughts on the Skins. Thanks, CP.
Hey, no problem, man. Peace out. Y'all have a good one.
You too, buddy.
And
do
you
well.
Even got a compliment from Danny today. How about that?
There's the idea Portis. That I don't compliment Clinton Portis is erroneous. Erroneous!
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. We've got those two gift cards we'll give away in the final segment. Two Paisanos next right here on The Fan. Welcome back, Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Always appreciate you guys listening, especially in these odd times. Sticking with us is very, very cool. And hopefully we'll deliver a product for you each and every day to get your mind off of some things. As sports intensive as always and as possible without a whole lot of games going on, but also some fun to be had now as we let our hair down and get a little creative on G&D with our producers as much as we can. Right now, though, I do want to give away, Danny, these Paisanos gift cards that we've
yes,
got.
Please.
So let's do that. Callers number 9 and 10 right now. Caller numbers 9 and 10 at 800-636-1067. Congrats to you. You're winning $25 Paisanos gift cards, so dinner is on us when you get those cards, courtesy of Paisanos. Paisanos wants to take some of the work out of working from home with their work from home. Buy one, get one Sunday through Thursday. Buy any large pizza at regular price. Get a large pizza of equal or lesser value. Order online and use promo code WFHBOGO. That's work from home. WFHBOGO. Details at thefandc.com. Have you guys been ordering any of your favorite places, takeout, trying to support some restaurants? Last night, we went over and picked up food at Mike's American Grill in Springfield, the Great American Restaurants, trying to take care of some of my guys as much as I can while also watching the waistline. How have you been doing it?
Some R. Curry has been in the mix. I ordered the other day from my boys at Chef Jeff's. They've done something really cool. They basically transformed Chef Jeff's not only into a carryout place, but basically into a market. And so they've got supplies that would normally be going there to run the restaurant that they're selling at a sort of a, you know, small markup on, obviously, but that money is then going to support their employees. So we not only bought dinner from there, but we also bought toilet paper and we bought some wine that they had in stock. And I think we bought one other item, or we're trying to buy one other item, like a household cleaning product they may have been out of, but it's a really, really ingenious idea as all these restaurants, GP, are, you know, trying to not only survive, but thrive and keep everybody, sort of working and happy.
That's great. I got to tell you, I was supposed to have a doctor's appointment like last week, just a random doctor's appointment, go in, check up, get medicine, what have you. and I moved it back. I was like, yeah, I'm not really feeling coming in. Let's push it back a couple weeks. And so it was supposed to be yesterday. And again, I called in the morning, and I'm like, I'm just not that comfortable coming into a doctor's office right now.
Seems like the wrong thing when it's non-essential, yeah.
Exactly. I was like, if I was sick, yes. But to put myself at risk with people who are going in to tell you they think they might have COVID-19 or whatever, mm-hmm. not really feeling that. So I'm getting the prescription for the medication, the anxiety meds I've talked about on the show that I take, just sent to me. But nice. It was just one of those things where I thought it was weird that, like, my doctor's office was like, oh, well, we're cleaning, we're doing this, we're doing that. And I, like,
that's
multiple
cool.
times I pushed it back, and they're like, well, we'll do it this time, but next time you're going to have to come in. So, like, in 4 weeks,
weird.
I don't think a whole lot's going to change. But basically, I'm going to be right back in there doing this again. I just something doesn't feel right about that to me.
Right. There's got to, I mean, can we do a video conference? I mean, we're trying some workarounds here. I'll have it FaceTime.
If
I'll
Major
Skype
League
you.
Baseball can play games
yeah.
where
I'll
there's no
you?
Home plate umpire, you're not allowed to have any mound visits. We got 7-inning doubleheaders where the regular use of on-field microphones are suddenly taking place, and players are sitting in empty stands 6 feet apart instead of in the dugout. Maybe we could just do a Skype call to see
yeah.
if I want to refill my prescription.
Yeah, I can't get a script without you know, sitting down and answering the same questions I did last month. I don't know about that.
Craziness. What's on the docket for you tonight?
So it's about to thunderstorm, buddy, in the greater D.C. area, the exact
that,
time.
Which makes it even harder for us to just be out of the house for 6 hours today.
Yeah, so the instant this radio program ends at 1:54:50 hour time before going out in the airway, so I guess it's 1:55 and change to the listener, I'm going to sprint upstairs, put some short pants on, and get my oldest outside for whatever time that we've got. Just going to try to run his butt ragged, just, you know, whatever he wants to do out there, we're keeping him out there, get him schwitzing. Before we have to come inside because Zeus got in a fist fight with somebody up there in heaven. So I
Shout
think that's the plan.
Shout out to Byron, by the way. What a rope he had. Right-handed swing yesterday in the left
yes.
center gap. He looks like his swing has come a long way in a very short time with some extra time to work with Dad. Hey, I do want to point out, today's show, we got some great podcasting opportunities for you. FP Santangelo on whether or not he wants to see a quirky version of baseball so we have something to watch.
Some
you
good
just
thoughts
heard
on
Clinton
that, yeah.
Portis, Isaiah Simmons over Chase Young in his mind, which is something I haven't heard anybody else say. He also thinks that Dwayne Haskins should have to compete with Kyle Allen. And Pep Hamilton earlier today on what worked, what didn't in the XFL. So it was a really good show, a lot of fun. You can podcast it at thefandc.com, grantanddanny.com, or use that rewind function via radio.com as well.
A lot of fun today, man. I like a good diverse guest lineup, and I like that we had something to talk about with them. You know what I mean? That's what was cool about it.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for sticking with us. We're back at it tomorrow at 10 a.m. right here on Grant and Danny.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.